Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. It is one of my favorite days of the week. I have Mr. Mike Wiggins here with the Garden Line.
Tuesday's my favorite.
Tuesday's your favorite, too.
I love coming to 1620 on Tuesday.
It's always fun with you. We always enjoy having you. If you would like to join in this conversation, Mike's been doing landscaping for over 40 years.
Ooh, he's old, yeah.
But he knows his stuff. So if you have any questions about things that are maybe planted, you know, you got something going on in your yard, you can send us a picture. I've gotten that before. He'll check it out. Give us a call, 437-1620. So how have you been?
I am great. Had a great weekend. Went down to the University of Florida, and I'm a big Seminole, you understand that?
Okay.
But I had a mission down there, which was to graduate my granddaughter from the University of Florida, and we just had a magnificent time. Gainesville is a neat city. It really is. And we just enjoyed touring the campus and eating at their favorite places.
And
matter of fact, I even have, before the show was out, a Garden Line comment about the city of Gainesville.
Oh, okay. I'm ready to hear that.
Are you ready to hear that?
Yeah,
let me tell you what. Early one, I guess, when was it? Saturday morning, Sunday morning. It was just a gorgeous day in Gainesville. And Mary Ellen and I got up early and just took a walk. Mm-hmm. Just took a walk. A beautiful walking path, bike path. But it was the white bike path, and then there was a wooded area. But between the bike path and the wooded area was a very nice manicured lawn area.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it was called the Edible Grove.
And
what they had done, they have a big sign there. They had planted, maybe as long as a football field, maybe two football fields, various fruit trees. And it was just amazing. They had this sign there that they were growing peaches and loquats and mulberries and that type of thing. And the big sign said, when these plants are producing, help yourself. So it was edible grove for anybody walking along the walking path or anybody that's wanting to come to the edible grove and pick some fruit and take it home. It said, be fair, be courteous to your neighbors. Don't take too much. But it really was a neat, neat place. And it's a good idea.
It's a great idea.
But you know what it brought to mind? A lot of folks here in Pensacola have done projects like that. And a lot of businesses and a lot of churches and nonprofits and a bunch of folks have done special projects on their own property. But the one thing that I did not see in the Edible Grove, and I have a feeling they've got a way to do it, was water. So many projects like this are so wonderful and great ideas and are long-term because, a mulberry tree will take 10 years to produce. You've got to have water. And so if you are planning, say you're a business and you're going to re-landscape your front of your business, one, pick the right plants, and two, be sure you have the water. Back in my political days, there are some areas in the city that do not have water, but we planted in those areas because we had a water truck. We had a guy that would drive in this huge tank, and he'd water the plants on a schedule. And this fellow was so conscientious. He took those plants as his own, and we made him Employee of the Month one time.
Aww.
The guy on the water truck.
It
was just great. But my point is, I love these kind of projects. The Edible Grove is just...
That's really neat.
It's just a cool one. But if you're going to do a project like that, just be sure you've got the means for water and some long-term attention to it, because as we all know, you're going to get bugs and disease and you need to fertilize them and all of this. So in any event, good for the city of Gainesville because they did that.
Yeah, that's awesome. My friend said edible gardens are a huge thing in Central Florida. Check out Green Dreams on YouTube.
Green Dreams. I will do that. But I just thought the cool thing about the Edible Grove was, hey, you just drive up there, walk up there, pick what you want and be gone.
I love it. And I had another friend text in, can you ask Mike what to do about armadillos? That's how I say it.
That's a joke.
Armadillos.
That's a joke. That is a joke. We it's so funny. One show that we had one time, and the same question came up about armadillos.
Oh, and, yeah? What was your response?
Well, I did have a response to that, insofar if you've got an armadillo and he's bothering you, put some insecticide, granular insecticide, kind of around the perimeter of the area where the armadillo is bothering you, and that will take care of the insects, and the armadillo will go somewhere else.
Okay.
But the thing about the armadillos, it was so funny on that show. I guess this was a couple of years ago. We had that same question. Mm-hmm. And the entire show for almost an hour was armadillo questions, and armadillo experiences, and armadillo jokes.
That's awesome.
It was great. So we have kind of put a moratorium on armadillos. Not really. But it's really funny. I live right kind of off Spanish Trail, mm-hmm. In northeast Pensacola. And I look out my back door, about a year or so ago, and there's this huge armadillo walking along my flower bed.
Really?
Along my fence. I never saw him before. I never saw him since. But there he went. So they're here. I think we talked about this last week. Armadillos have hitchhiked from Texas.
They hitchhiked. I love that.
They jump on these 18-wheelers, and then they either fall off or jump off or whatever. And that's why, quite frankly, if you have an armadillo question or an armadillo problem, generally you're north of the interstate. They fall off those trucks and then, for some reason, head north. So if you're, say, up near Nine Mile Road and up in that area, then you may be more prone to an armadillo problem than those folks, say, in Cordova Park or what have you. But there are some wooded areas around, and if you want to, if they are bothering you, put that insecticide, the granular insecticide, around your perimeter, along your fences and such, to kill the insects, and that's his food source.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. We'll talk about armadillos all day if you want.
Well, and we just might.
Our friend Lynn on the phone. Good morning, Lynn.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
We're doing fine. What's up?
Thank you. This is Lynn from the Garden Center about our wonderful secret garden tour that's coming up May the 20th and 21st. Just want to remind everybody the tickets will be in the office every day next week selling tickets. At the 1850 North 9th Avenue at the Garden Center. We appreciate your program, and we appreciate you telling everybody about our garden.
Well, that event is always so great because you can buy your ticket and go to these people's houses, citizens, just like the rest of us, and see what they have done landscaping-wise and creative-wise, and get some good hints to take back to your own house. And so it really is fun to do. And I think, Lynn, I think when the last time we talked, there's some special things that some of these people have done that folks might be interested in.
We have five gardens. We have one that is strictly an orchid grower and beautiful orchids.
Yeah.
We have a vegetable garden front and back, whatever, in East Hill. We have another tiny house with a big garden behind the big house in East Hill. And we have another garden by a young man in East Hill. And then we have one on Barrancas Avenue that's a military memorial garden. This man has spent thousands of dollars with his memorials to every branch of the military you can imagine. Plus, he has wonderful the bees, and the bee lady will be there on Saturday and Sunday from 12 to 2 each day.
Well, that sounds really
and
cool.
And we all of these, it's for the first time ever, there are five gardens, and four of these gardens are by men, and every one of these are private homeowners, no landscape. They've all done their own gardening and flowers and whatever. This year, we don't have any landscapers involved.
Well, I got you. Well, Lynn, we got to take a break here, but thank you. Y'all
thank
do a great job
you.
And hope you have it's a raving success. let's hope for dry weather. So good luck to you. Good luck. And thanks for calling in. We really appreciate it.
You are listening to News Radio 92.3, the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm here with The Garden Line. I'm telling you, it's the most popular show of the entire week with Mike Wiggins. Yes, it is.
That's nice of you to say.
We're going to take a quick break. I do have some questions we're going to get to right after the break.
Good.
Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, the Pensacola Expert Panel.
You're kind of going old school on our music today.
I'm doing a little jazzy. You
it's
like it?
Great stuff. Yes.
Just
who's,
for
who's
you,
that?
Mike.
Who's that?
This is, you know, does it tell me? It doesn't tell me. It's just upbeat jazz music.
Upbeat jazz music. That'll work. Very
you like
good.
It?
Oh, yes.
That was just for you because I know you like that.
Oh, yeah. That's sometimes I want to just put our feet up on the desk and listen to the music that you're playing.
All the time I want to do that. Sometimes I just don't want to turn it down and talk. I'm like, can we just listen to the whole song?
There you go.
We have a couple of questions we're going to get to. Our friend text in good morning suggestions for type of fertilizer for zoysia grass.
Good question. That's a great question, as a matter of fact, because so many people in Pensacola have, quite frankly, given up on St. Augustine grass. Simply because, in my opinion, because of disease, the Rhizoctonia fungus. So many people have gone to zoysia, which is a grass that you can mow a little shorter. It's got a little finer blade to it. Takes traffic very well. Needs full sun, in my opinion, full sun. But it also needs a fertilization program very similar to St. Augustine. As a matter of fact, if you have had St. Augustine and now you have zoysia, I'd follow the same program. What I would do right now, and this is a great time to do it in May, is to put on a 16-0-8, say a 15-0-15, something with formula like that. It's got a large first number, a medium end number at the very end, and you don't need anything in the middle. If you have a 16-4-8, a 4 in the middle, doesn't make that much difference. We've got a lot of phosphate in the soil. Point is, you want that nitrogen on there right now. That's going to get it growing. And this is one of the very few, Tammy, disadvantages to zoysia grass in that, and it's not that big a one, is that it is slow to come out of dormancy in the spring and kind of quick to go into dormancy in the winter. That really is one of the few disadvantages to zoysia. Now, if you're going to use that 16-0-8, let's just use that as an example, right now, in the month of May, then at the end of June or maybe the beginning of July, you need to put another dose of that on your zoysia grass or even a little higher nitrogen because zoysia and St. Augustine need that kind of a kick in midsummer. But then in the winter, you want to kind of turn your fertilizer formula around and do a 10-5-14. Too many numbers here. I apologize. The 10-5-14. The 14 is potash, which helps with the root structure of the grass, which is what you need going into the winter, and it makes your grass come back better in the spring. But to answer the question, only took about 30 minutes to answer the question, which I could have answered in one word.
That's okay.
Yes, it's time to fertilize. A 16-0-8 is one of my favorites. But just keep in mind, it can be high nitrogen, high potash, nothing in the middle, and you can find it all over town.
Great answer. Thank you. I appreciate it. And also, if you would like to hear this podcast, you can go over to News Radio 92.3 around 11:15, and it will be up if you missed anything. You know, I know it's a lot of numbers. It's a lot of information. So you're welcome to go over to the podcast and listen to it again. We have another friend text in. Is it good to leave anthills in your yard? I heard it was because they stop termites.
It's funny. That's an interesting comment because I have never in all my years heard that ants would control termites. Very interesting.
That is interesting.
That deserves a little bit of research there. But obviously ant hills are a nuisance, and there are some products you can use. One of the older products to use is Amdro.
Okay.
Amdro is a product that used to put on an ant hill, and the workers would take it down to the queen. They would take care of the queen, and the anthills would generally go away. Mm-hmm. What you'll find with so many products that you put on anthills, well, one, it will help control the ants, but it moves them. Okay. They'll move somewhere else. You'll kind of chase them all around your yard. So it's not an easy product, I mean, easy to do, but there are products like Andro, kind of probably some newer ones, that will help take care of the workers and the queen, and the ant hill goes away.
All right. And then Catherine said, just a thought, Pensacola should build an edible garden by Bruce Beach.
Catherine, that is a great idea. A great idea. And as long as I said, as long as you've got irrigation, then it's easy to do, because we have great, we could put citrus in there. We could put some of the plants that Gainesville put in there, you know, the loquats and the peaches and the pears and that type of thing. Yes, we could do that. That's a great idea.
Thank you. Very good idea.
Very good, Catherine. We'll pass that on to some of our local politicians.
Like the mayor.
I bet the mayor would appreciate that. I think the mayor likes that type of thing, and I think he would appreciate that. So, and Bruce Beach is really going to be fantastic. Just fantastic. Great place to go, and it would be fun to have something like that there.
Where exactly is Bruce Beach?
Right next to, if you go right next to the stadium.
Oh, okay.
The Wahoos, right down
there. Right there. That's what that's called.
Yeah, it's on Main Street, right off Main Street. And, you know, they've got the new bridge, so you can get over to it. And the plans for that are just great. You can take your kayaks down there and enjoy the beach, you know, from a downtown environment. We always, back in the day, did everything we could to get public access to the water. And Bruce Beach will do exactly that. It's a great product.
That is awesome.
Great project.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line. If you would like to join in the conversation, you can, 437-1620. We're going to take a quick break and get right back to your questions. Welcome back. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you would like to join in the conversation, you can call or text 850-437-1620. We would love to hear from you. I had a friend text in, Mike, what's up with sun patients this year? I haven't found them anywhere.
I'm surprised you can't find them, because it is one of the most popular plants going now. As we all know, those of us who have been in this business or who've been gardeners for years, impatiens is one of the most popular shade annuals in Pensacola. Different colors, multicolors. It's a great plant. It goes so well in shade or even semi-shade. Well, in the past, I say decade, they've come up with sun impatiens, which are impatiens that grow in the sun. Another name for them are New Guinea impatiens. That's kind of one of the first ways they were introduced. Mm-hmm. They're now called sun patiens. And they are just vibrant, vibrant colors. Our old buddy Paul did a landscape job down near the bio, and I think he used almost 300 sun patiens. And it will.
Oh, they are beautiful.
And it will stop traffic. I'm telling you. It's a great plant. I planted about five of them. In a flower bed, in the foreground of a flower bed, this spring, and they're vibrant red, and just a great plant. Full sun, just fertilization, just like you would your other annuals, maybe once a month, a little fertilizer, and obviously water. I have found that some of the annuals need more water than others. A sun patiens is going to need a tad more water.
Oh, really?
So not every day necessarily. If you have rain like we've had, you don't have to worry about it. But at least, say, three times a week, give them a good watering, because sometimes they'll have a tendency for the leaves to kind of droop a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's a great plant. I recommend it. Try our buddy out at Pensacola Seed and Garden. Call over there.
Okay.
Talk to Larry and ask Larry if he's got any sun patients. I bet he does, because it's so popular. Now, what may have happened is it's so popular nowadays, some of your garden centers may be running short.
That was Pensacola Seed and Garden?
Yeah, Pensacola Seed and Garden, right. And anyway, I recommend it. I think you would enjoy it. I really do.
All right. Thank you.
That's good.
We have more to come out here on Pep Talk. Mr. Mike's here to answer any of your questions. So if on this break you want to text in, we can get to them, 850-437-1620. Don't forget, Bands on the Beach is back tonight, thanks to Santa Rosa Island Authority at the Gulfside Pavilion at 7. This week it's Grits and Greens take the stage, so you don't want to miss out. We have a Fox News update followed by a local news update in our newsroom.
Jazz day on the line.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins with the Garden Line. It's always a pleasure to have you, Mike, on the show with me.
Always a pleasure being here. Thanks for you being here. This is great.
And I got the jazz out just for you this morning.
Well, hope you enjoy it. Really nice.
We could just sit here for a little while and just listen. It was great.
Some music.
Well, yeah, we're going to get to your questions. If you want to join in the conversation, you can. It's 437-1620. You can call or text, whichever you prefer. All right, we had a friend text in. On Saturday night, we had what appeared to be a swarm of termites come into a yard. I sprayed my attic and the outside wood on my house with termite spray. Should we be concerned?
Well, I'm going to say no. Because in my neighborhood, we face this every year at this time of year. Mm-hmm. It's called the termite swarm. And they're nasty little worms that you'll find in your house crawling up the wall. My termite guy says, don't sweat it. He says they'll go away and this will be over soon. I also have sprayed around the perimeter of my house. And it seems so far, cross your fingers, this year, I haven't had as many as I've had in the past. But let me give you one hint. And this is, I can't remember where we learned this at our house, but they are drawn to the light. So if wherever they are in your house, say the bedroom or the bathroom or whatever, all during the day, keep the lights off as much as you can. And even at night, I mean, don't turn them on until you go to bed and, you know, and whatever. The point is, keep the light down. And if you have lights outside, floodlights, that type of thing, I have a little pergola with some lights around it. I don't use it this time of year because the pergola is kind of off the back of the house. And I just think that would draw them in. But make a long story short, I think we're all okay on that. But boy, they are nasty little
devils.
They
are.
They're horrible. And you'll just look, you'll see them crawling up the wall. And you'll get one, and you'll look over, and you'll see three. You get those three, you'll get three more. It's just a nasty little thing. But I think insofar as the dreaded termite damaging your home, my termite guy says don't sweat this. It happens every year. The termite swarm.
That's right. Yeah. It's kind of like the love bugs. You just have to deal with them.
Just deal with them.
And then they leave.
Exactly.
I had a friend text in, I grew an avocado from Florida Avocado from the grocery store, but it died this winter, even though I wrapped it with a blanket during the freeze. It hasn't come back. What is the best avocado to plant for our area?
Well, I don't think we're in an area to really grow avocados.
Okay.
But a lot of people like to take those avocados, just the one you get at the grocery store, and just like she did, although the cold got it, and plant it. It's a fun project for kids, is to plant that avocado and watch it grow. Watch the plant grow. So that's what I would do. I wouldn't expect to get a whole lot of produce out of it, a lot of results, but it's a fun
thing. We were talking about how sad that was because we love avocado and guacamole and all that fun stuff.
Yes,
so I would love to have a big old avocado tree in my backyard. That's for sure.
You have to move to California, I think, to really do it.
True. A friend texted in, 4-year-old Satsuma trees. Last 2 years, put on full green, bloom, and fruit buds. Once the fruit buds get about the size of a BB, they will drop along with half of the leaves.
That's a tough one to answer. I assume that tree made it through the cold. And so sometimes when you have blossom drop or fruit drop like that, it can come from a couple of things. One, it can come from over-fertilization. Too much fertilizer will make that drop. When the leaves start falling off like that, I think we've talked about this, that is generally the tree has gone through some trauma and it's dropping the leaves and it's recovering from that.
Okay.
If the leaves stayed on there and stayed brown and brittle, then you've really got some problems. So I would almost say if it has happened before, that's one thing. But if it only happened this year, I'd blame it on the 19-degree freeze
it
that
was
we had,
freezing,
the cold weather.
Yes.
That's kind of a cop-out because I'm not sure if that's exactly what's going on here, but that could be a reason.
Thank you. Yes.
To expand just a little bit, I certainly would put some fertilizer on it.
Okay.
I really would. All the way around the drip line, not just back to the trunk, all the way around the drip line, and, of course, water it in. We've had plenty of rain, plenty of water, so that's not the problem. Also, one last thing. Just be sure that if you used weed and feed fertilizer in your yard and it got underneath that particular plant, that can cause all kind of problems.
Oh.
So be sure.
So check for that.
I'm not a fan of weed and feed here on the garden line. We don't recommend it. However, if a lot of people do, and if they did, be sure you keep it away from the drip line of that plant. It's fig trees that react violently to that weed and feed fertilizer. The leaves can be gorgeous. You put that weed and feed on there, and the leaves just get mottled and ugly. And so that's just one thing that could be going on.
That's a good way to describe it, Mike. Violently.
Exactly.
You're like, they react violently. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Do not get them near the fig trees.
Maybe that's too strong.
So, side note, I used to watch the Weather Channel all the time. You ever watch the Weather Channel?
Absolutely.
Do you know the verbiage they use all the time is so extreme?
Oh,
and we used to just laugh and like, what are they saying? The wind's barely blowing. And they're like, the wind's violently blowing. And I know you're just laughing because it's not.
They're standing out there.
It's just
and the palm trees are just not.
They're just standing there.
Just sitting there. And no question.
I used to laugh all the time. Anyway, that was total. I digress, as we like to say on this show.
We like to digress on the garden.
Sometimes
line.
We do.
We do like that.
If you're just now tuning in, you're listening to News Radio 92.3, the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line. You are welcome to join in the conversation, 437-1620. We have really enjoyed you listening this morning and texting in your questions for Mike to answer. That's always awesome.
We appreciate that.
We really, truly do.
We have some great listeners and who have some really pertinent questions.
Right.
That a lot of times are very timely, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely. And we were going to talk a little bit about your recommendations for color in the yard.
We are, but I tell you what, let's digress.
Okay. I always like to digress, so let's do
that. I do want to talk about this,
because
this is really timely.
Okay.
I got this little bulletin from the state. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, it's from our friend Larry Williams, who is a county horticulture agent over in Okaloosa County. And his first sentence, and I'm not going to read this, but I'll just give you some highlights. He says, there are many North Florida lawns that are not looking so good after going into the spring. He says some lawns are weak. There's some dead areas. And I tell you, when I walk my neighborhood, I see exactly that. When I look in my own yard, mm-hmm. I see a couple of spots just like that. What he is saying here, and this bulletin is a little bit late, he says, don't wait now that we're in May to fertilize. He said a lot of people were fertilizing in February and March and early April. He said you should wait till mid-April to May. So we're there. So if you haven't done the fertilizer, go ahead and do it now. He says these lawns are going to be very slow to recover. We've had some cooler nighttime temperatures, and the soil has just not warmed up as you would hope it would by this time of year. And because of that, you're just not getting the root growth and the growth of the lawn. So I think his bottom line on what he is saying here, he feels like a lot of these spots that are weak, maybe some of the weeds have come in those spots mm-hmm. also, that they're just going to come back, that the turf will improve. Now, if it doesn't, say by June or so, you may want to start thinking about resodding in some of those areas. But let's wait on that. But if you're sitting at home and you're looking at your yard and you've got some weak areas, even some areas that look like they may not come back, you're in good company. Because this guy says even over in Okaloosa County, mm-hmm. it's very prevalent, and it is in Pensacola also. So that's what you need to do is maybe fertilize it, give it a little bit of time, and let's see what happens as we get to the end of May and see if some of those spots haven't the grass that's there
yeah.
hasn't start to grow and start to recover, if you will.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get to your questions. I have a few more to ask Mike when we get back, so stay tuned. Welcome back. It's 9:48 here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line. Thank you so much for joining us. You're welcome to call or text 437-1620 if you have a question for Mike. He'd love to answer it for you. We did have a friend text in. We've had a lot of pollen fall from our live oaks this year. Will it damage St. Augustine turf?
Well, I don't think it's going to damage your St. Augustine. Keep in mind, you're preaching to the choir here because I have got this huge live oak in my front yard. I have St. Augustine grass. I have never, and I keep saying this every year, I think, I've never seen the leaf drop like I've seen this year. Now all the seedlings are falling down, getting on my car, and it's maddening. It really
yes.
is. However, I would recommend raking it periodically. You're never going to get them all.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is you rake it and you feel real good about it. Here comes a little storm like we've had, and you're right back to where you started. So, yeah, periodically I would rake it. If for no other reason, Tammy, is the oak leaves, if you remember, we talked about this one time, the oak leaves are cup shape, and they fall in your yard, and if they're sitting upright in your yard, they fill with water when it rains.
Yes.
And could be a breeding ground for mosquitoes.
Oh.
So.
That's a bad
word.
Rake
your yard, you know, periodically.
Mosquitoes.
And if your lawnmower is such that it will pick up those leaves, certainly, well, this is the time of year we all are mowing our yard about once a week, maybe once every 10 days or so, depending on where you live and type of grass that you have. But I'd get them out of there if I could. As many as you can. There's so many. I filled up two 42-gallon bags the other day of just the
really?
Leaves out
oh.
of my gutter. I mean, it's, and my neighbors, I went out of town mm-hmm. this weekend, and I know my neighbors are just upset with me because they had all their leaves raked up and all out of the gutter, and mine looked like. But when I go home this afternoon, I'm going to have to do a little, go take care of the leaves. But I don't think, to answer the question point blank, I don't really think you're going to have any damage to your St. Augustine, but I certainly would periodically get those leaves out of there if I could.
So you've been in the political arena before.
I have.
You
for
were the
many,
mayor,
many years.
Right?
I was.
So we had a friend text in, and it's not really for us, but we might could answer it. Can Andrew ask the county administrator when the county plans to fix the huge pothole at the corner of Horseshoe Court and Rhett Road? I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my Prius in it one day. Thanks in advance.
I wonder if the
what can we do about this,
how
Mayor?
How big is this pothole? Is that Prius going to fall into
it
the,
could.
Into
I mean,
the
you
pothole?
See.
I don't know how deep it is. We will pass that on to
we
Andrew.
We are going to pass that
Andrew
along.
Andrew is a man of great influence.
He is.
And I'm sure politically he can take care of that. But, Tammy, do you remember the news within the last month or so? It was a movie star or a big athlete. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Got mad at the pothole he had in California.
No,
in Southern
I didn't
California,
see that.
And went out and fixed it himself. Filled the pothole himself and got in all kind of trouble.
Did he really?
With the city. They said, you can't do that. You can't go fill your own potholes. He said, nobody else would do it. So I did.
You can't fill a pothole.
I don't.
Maybe it's because of what, you know, they have regulations on what goes in it.
Oh, of course. Oh,
and
no,
all that
no,
jazz,
no.
especially in California. Yeah. So
Just call Public Works and or call, better still, call Andrew. And if he can't get it done, call your county commissioner or your city councilman, one of the two.
Just be a squeaky wheel, you know.
Yeah, that was a nice diversion.
It was nice. All right, back to the garden
line.
I had a friend text in, all my blueberry bushes suddenly seem to die. First time that I have seen this happen. However, new growth is happening.
Well, they should have been made it through the cold.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of plants that should have made it through the cold.
True.
That did not make it.
Okay.
So I think that's probably what's happening. So many of our plants that we kind of gave up on mm-hmm. in January and February, saying they've had it, that
right.
19 degrees did them in, but they are putting on new growth. So I would fertilize them for sure,
mm-hmm.
obviously keep them watered, and I bet you're going to be okay. But I'm going to blame it on the weather because blueberries are usually kind of bulletproof.
Are they resilient?
Yes, they really are. And I think they're underused. lot of people grow them, obviously, for the blueberries. Mm-hmm. But there are people that will make a small hedge, a low-growing hedge of blueberry bushes because the foliage is pretty. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they produce. And it's just a great plant.
You feel like that's an easy plant to grow here?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know why? One reason is it likes our acid soil.
Okay.
You know, it's like centipede grass. It likes our acid soil. You don't have to lime them. But the thing about blueberries, if you're going to plant some, be sure you plant a pollinator also. You need kind of two different types to plant.
So people liked our pothole segment that we digressed. So a friend said Shaq is the pothole king.
Was it Shaq that did it?
I don't know. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger that repaired the pothole.
That's who it was. Arnold Schwarzenegger. He used to be the governor.
He was the governor,
he? He could fill his own potholes if he wants to.
That's right. You can fill your own potholes, Arnold. We're okay with that.
We're going to have a little quid pro quo with Andrew. He is going to have to answer some gardening questions on
That's
his
right.
show.
Yeah, why don't you text him in on his show and be like a secret
Tell him
secret shopper?
Ask him if he's a good avocado grower.
See That's what, right. See We're going to stump him. Tomorrow morning we'll stump him.
Let's do it.
We're going to take a quick break here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We have a couple minutes left, so if you want to get your questions in, do it now. We call or text 437-1620. I was like, people are listening. Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. We have Mike Wiggins here with us today with the Garden Line. If you'd like to, we have a couple more minutes, so if you want to call or text your questions, please do. Let's see, leaves and pollen from our front. Oh, she has someone bagged up 22 42-gallon bags.
No.
Yes.
No.
Wow, that's a lot of labor right there.
Is that all leaves?
I think so. Leaves and pollen.
Wow.
I wouldn't make it through that. I'd be sneezing the whole way.
Oh, it's been an amazing year for that. But I think that texture has set the has got the record.
The record, that's right. And then I had a friend text in, why are my green blueberries falling off?
Hard question.
Good question.
Hard question, because that's fruit drop. And once again, let's go back. Be sure you hadn't over-fertilized them.
Okay.
Okay. It could be a little bit of residual problem from the weather.
Right.
But otherwise, it really should not happen. I'm going to say over-fertilization could be our problem here. A little too much nitrogen will make that happen.
Okay.
Yeah. Possible.
Thank you. So we were talking about termites this time of year. They're drawn to the light, so
yes.
We had that swarm. Do you think that happens multiple times, or do you think that was a one-time thing?
No, I think it happens this time of year.
This time of year, so anytime.
Now,
okay.
Because I like I said, I found two in my bedroom last week, and none after that.
Huh.
But I fully expect to find more in the next couple of weeks, and then it just goes away.
And so odd, isn't it?
It is. It really
is.
It's
like here
really,
we are.
Here we are. But they are nasty little devils. And I just kind of get them with a fly swatter and throw them in the trash. But
there
like
you
I
go.
Say, there comes a point sometimes over some years, you just can't get them all.
Right.
You have to do your best.
Well, it's always a pleasure having you on this show.
It's fun.
It is so fun.
We've
and thank
a lot
you
of
so much
today.
For listening. And your questions are amazing. So thank you so much for texting in your questions. Coming up, we have Armada advisor Wesley Odom. He's the president. So if you have any questions about investing, 401ks, financial questions, you want to stick around. Call or text. You can go ahead and text in a question, 437-1620. We have a news break, and we will be back with more on Pep Talk.